Blog Talk Radio.
Which players emerged as the new leaders of the team, and who's the impact player of the week? This and more on this week's Revolution Zone. And that's right, we won't give up. We're on the edge of the revolution. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks to Impact Media for allowing us to come on this week for Revolution Zone, your weekly, all about the Texas Revolution of the CIF. Amazing show. How are you guys doing this week? I'm doing pretty good myself. One, the team looked pretty good. Team looked pretty good over the weekend against the North Texas Crunch. I'll get into that. I'll try to talk a little better as well, but I will get into that game a little bit here in a few minutes. As I teased right before we started here, I'm going to tell you who emerged as the leaders, give you some more players to watch, because after watching this week, we got to see a few different people in some different scenarios. Maybe we can try to find some new guys to put on the back of those jerseys everybody's rocking. Those things are amazing. I still need to try to get this hat I really like here. I'm not going to show it to you guys, because I don't want anybody else to get it. Don't feel obligated to have to buy me a hat. I can get my own hat. Appreciate it. But they've got some killer gear. Definitely go check out TexasRevs.com for all the latest, greatest news, notes, score updates. They've got the inside the revolution with Catherine Dunn. She's been doing an amazing job. Definitely go check those out. I know I just watched it for a second time right before we came on. Really cool things they have going on with that. And like I said, if you want to buy your gear, the gear's on there as well. It's really easy to navigate. It's a lot of fun. Just go cruise around the site a few times. But as I said, we are on the edge of the revolution, and by edge, I do mean the edge of the season. The North Texas Crunch game was just the preseason game. Everybody else kind of started the week after, or the day after that, and a lot of people have played another game already, which is fine. Let everybody else get a head start. Makes it more fun to catch up that way. Makes a better story. Besides, if you go back and look at the Texas Revolution, the winning side started behind and had to make a pretty good comeback to outlast and actually win that. That's usually the way wars are won. But like I said, Impact Media allowed us to come on. Just want to quickly hit all their stuff real quick. They have a new Twitter account if you want to catch any of the Team Impact stuff, any of the Impact Media stuff as well, at Team Impact Media, or if you want to catch me personally, at the Impact 99. Obviously, we're on Facebook. You can find us on there. If you want to email the show, you can send it to 3endzone@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. As always, you can tweet us, you can email us, you can text us. Whatever way you want to contact the team, contact us, talk about the team. We're going to have some amazing guests on, including a little bit later on, we're going to have the voice of your Texas Revolution, Mr. Sonny Clark. That's going to be fun to have. I'm looking forward to talking to him. He gets to talk to a lot of really cool people, so it's kind of fun to flip it on him a little bit here and talk to him. He's a really cool guy as well. Like I said, let's go on and start on the Crunch game, or as I like to call it, the Revolution Exhibition. These teams are very close as far as on paper. When it got to the field, I didn't see that much. I didn't see it was that close, really, and the score kind of showed that as well. Unfortunately, as the article he had up, Mr. Matt Lunsford, the just does a killer job with all the articles and the websites and all the PR work he does for the Revolution. Like he said in his article, and like I heard from him just a couple days ago, due to the ice storm and the crazy weather that was going on during this game, some of the stats are kind of hit or miss. That's why they didn't post them. They're all unofficial. These kind of things happen. We all had kind of the freak snowstorm there. We lucked out and didn't have a whole lot of it, but the Arlen area did get hit pretty good, and we hope everybody was safe in getting to and from the places they need to get to. But back to the game. One of the things that stuck out to me was the Revolution played a lot like they did last year, except for they won this game. They had some issues last year. They kind of ironed those out. I think they're really starting to turn the corner here. The question I had going into it, you know, I said last week that Luke Halpin, I thought, was going to be the starting quarterback, and I'm pretty sure, you know, he got a lot of the snaps, but also Robert Kent got a lot as well, and they kept going back and forth and just kind of playing this kind of double quarterback thing. I'm good with that. I have no problems playing a double quarterback set or just trying to figure out who's going to actually be the starter. Robert Kent is kind of the veteran as opposed to Luke Halpin. They both did pretty good. It took Luke a little bit to warm up, but once he did, he was gaining yards just as easy as Kent was. I mean, I don't know who to pick. I guess at this point, we'll just have to wait and see for this week's game to see who's going to start with that. But another thing I want to talk about, Darius Fudge, who was coming back. That big knee injury he had, it just, when you injure your knee and you're running back, you really don't know what's going to happen. He was able to stick to it. He was able to drop a little bit of weight, come back for this one. And he actually looked good. Darius Fudge, every time he touched the ball, it seemed like the other team just had no idea how to tackle him. Always a good thing. Because the CIF is a little different from the IFL. The teams will play a little different. It's different competition. A lot of these people we've never seen before. So, you know, the game against Selena this week, you're going to see a different look than you are the North Texas Crunch, who are also in a different division. A different league, actually. I think the Crunch did some good things well, just not enough to stay up with the Revolution and the way they did things. DeMario Dixon continued to just be the dominant enforcer of the defensive line. Some other guys made some great plays as well. I mean, if you guys aren't pumped and excited, I don't know what's going to get you pumped and excited. These guys did phenomenal. I thought it was really great. I tried to watch it two or three times, actually, but had an internet issue and couldn't watch it the second and third time all the way through. Either way, I thought it was a very good showing. I thought they could build on a lot of things. You know, didn't do everything absolutely perfect, but that's fine. That's a preseason game. You got all these other regular season games coming up. You know, Wendell Davis gets his first career win as a head coach. And also, breaking barriers again. Jen Welter becomes the first female coach on a men's professional level of football. She did good. She coached them the way they needed to be coached, apparently. Everybody did well. Selena Bombers, you know, let's get into, they are 1-0. They did win last week, you know. Actually, they won the close one. They had the close battle. I had to look at the score real quick. I apologize for that one, but it was the 64-61 just insane slugfest. It reminded me of what hopefully Pacquiao Mayweather's going to be in a couple months. If it's even half this good, it could be just that much better. But like I said, they did win their game last week, so they're coming in with some momentum as well, especially when theirs actually started. You know, their season's already started. But, you know, some blocked field goals, some late field goals, this. If you can get a chance to see the replay of that game, definitely go see it. It was very, very cool. I guess I got to get into the next part. Didn't see it on my sheet. Having technical difficulties here as well. It happens. But who kind of merged as the leaders? Well, for the most part, it's a lot of the leaders we knew from last year. I mean, Robert Kent at quarterback, he could be emerging as the starting quarterback. It could also be Halpin. Either way, both of those guys emerged as guys that will definitely lead you up and down the field when need be. By far, Frankie Solomon Jr. continued to dominate and make sure that you will pay dearly if you throw in his direction. He looked like he was already in absolutely phenomenal form like he was last season. I'll go ahead and give you my players to watch, some new guys you need to check out. And the ones I'm going to give you this week, obviously, Darius Fudge. If you don't know about him, Google him, look him up. Definitely check out any kind of video package you can find on him. Great running back. Seems like the knee's working well. That's amazing news, not just for the team, not just for the sport, but for this guy. This guy's a really cool guy. And I really like the way he runs. He's almost like a downhill runner. It's really hard to stop him, as the crunch found out. In fact, I don't know if our own defensive line could stop him sometimes. But I guess, you know, we'd have to watch practice to see that one. Next guy I wanted you to check out, you know, I told you to check out Luke Halpin last week, so go ahead and check out Robert Kent out of Jackson State University, and he actually played in the UIFL. He's got some experience. He is the veteran, like I called him earlier. He seemed to really have his feet under him very quickly, has a good throw in motion, not a lot of, you know, no real fatal flaw in it that's going to cause him to have a bad game or anything like that. But it is indoor football. It is professional football. Anything can happen, but go check out Robert Kent. And, you know, while you're at it, go ahead and check out Garrett Tidwell. I like a lot of the things he does as well. He's a wide receiver, obviously. Or if you didn't know that, he's a wide receiver. But go check out some of the things he's doing. And anybody on this team, really. I mean, go check out highlight packages of any of these guys. That's what I do. And when we come back from the other side of the break, I will give out my Impact Player of the Week award, who I felt like was the MVP of the game for the Revolution. I won't do like on the other shows and give it out to the opposing team when they don't do well. I will always give it to the Revolution on this show because that's the way I like to operate. But when we come back from the break, I will give you the Impact Player of the Week, and we'll talk about the next game against the Salina Bombers, and then we'll hear from Sonny Clark. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. Hi, Jeremy, the Impact York here from Mellow Mushroom. Are you looking for a great family-friendly restaurant with food that is great and healthy? Drop by the Mellow Mushroom. They use the freshest ingredients to make everything on their amazing menu. Pizzas, calzones, salads, and more, plus daily drink specials. Go to mellowmushroom.com to find the location nearest you. Hey, needs owners. It's Jeremy the Impact York. Are you looking for a dinner full of flavor with a little kick? Then Tequila Mexican Restaurant is your destination for authentic Mexican food and drinks. Make sure to come by on the weekends for live music on the patio and bring all your friends for a good time. With locations in Dallas and Hiram, they are ready to dish out their great food and more.
And we are back here on Revolution Zone, your weekly Texas Revolution show of the CIF, that's the Champions Indoor Football League. Brought to you, as always, by Impact Media. Appreciate you guys at Impact Media allowing us to be on. It's one of the nice things they do every week. Although, I won't complain, but other hosts on other shows may like to have some donuts and coffee occasionally, but I'm good with where I'm at. I definitely would like to be brought back, and I'm here not just because I would get fined if I would not be, but it's a lot of fun, and it's fun talking to you guys. Before the break, I told you that we will talk a little bit about the Salina Bombers, which I will do. I hope it's Salina. I guess when Sonny comes on, I'll ask him if it's Salina or Salina. It's or Salina. I don't really want to mispronounce it, and I'm not trying to make fun of the city. I'm sure it's a good city. But right now I want to talk about some of the players they have and some of the things I've heard, because I only got to see bits and pieces of their game last week, and mostly it was the field goal fest at the end. They have a quarterback who has a really cool name, especially if and he went to a cool school as well. It just kind of rolls off the tongue. His name's Chris Coffin. So I don't know if they call him the vampire or anything like that. Depends on, you know, hopefully he doesn't suck the life out of the opposing team, because we really don't want that to happen. We want the Revolution to dominate here. But he went to Graceland University. Maybe he knows a little Elvis, who knows. But this guy at 6'2", 210, I believe he's a rookie this year with them. From everything I've heard, I put out some feelers just to see, just so I could tell you guys, from everything I heard, this kid's pretty legitimate. He can spread the ball out. He's got a quick release. He's good at scrambling. Honestly, I hope he gets to meet DeMario Dixon, you know, for the entire game. Maybe they can be buddies afterwards. Another guy you need to pay attention to for them is Thomas Frevert. And the reason you should know Thomas Frevert is he's the kicker. I just told you that the last game come down to field goals and block field goals and everything. This guy was part of that battle. Out of Northwest Missouri State, he's got a pretty good leg on him. A lot of people think in the indoor, well, the field's shorter and this. Well, the goalposts are a little shorter in too. It's a lot harder to kick indoors than outdoors, in my opinion. But that's just my opinion, and that's no offense to friends of Impact Media such as Josh Scobie and Matt Bryant of the NFL. But for my money, I trust a lot of these indoor kickers. It's a lot harder to kick indoors the way these stadiums are set up a lot of times. So Thomas Frevert, hopefully we can keep him off the field. I don't really want him keep kicking all that much. And the last guy I really want you to look at least for now, I may mention a few more later when we get Sonny on. They have a wide receiver by the name of O.J. Simpson. No, he's not that guy. He's another guy for them, but this kid's got a lot of speed. You know, at 5'9", just under 200 pounds, I'm not going to say he plays like Steve Smith, but think that size running around. He can go up and under a lot of defenders and run past them if he needs to. So hopefully we can contain him. I think the smartest thing to do would be to put Frankie Solomon Jr. on him and make sure O.J. Simpson never sees the ball. I did say before the break as well that I'm going to hand out the Impact Player of the Week Award. And what that is my own personal award I like to give out. As, you know, since I call myself the Impact, you have to read my book to find out why. It's a really fun story. But Impact Player of the Week Award. You know what? Out of the gate, I think I'm going to give this one to... I think I'm going to give this to the head coach. And I can do that because it's my award, my show. But, yeah, I'm going to give this to Wendell Davis for getting his first career W as a head coach. He's got a good staff under him, a good staff around him, a lot of scouts all the way to the front office. Everybody, they do such a good job over there. I know they're really proud to get that first win for him. So, Coach Davis, Impact Player of the Week Award. Maybe we'll send you an award. You can put it in the locker room there. We'll get right on that. But going into this weekend's game, and that's on Saturday, that's the 7th, they're going to be going to the Salina Bombers to play this one. The Revolution will be. You can find this on AmericaOneSports.com. Just a couple bucks, you can watch the game. It's really a good setup. If you can't be there and you're out of market, it's a good place to watch games. I get on there all the time and watch games from all over the place. It's not just indoor football, but they do show a ton of indoor football. But as far as Salina, I talked to you a little bit about some of their players. They do have cool logos and stuff like that. Everybody in indoor does. They have... I love the indoor game just for the fact you get all the awesome names, really cool merchandise, and finally, color schemes that work. There's a lot in the NFL that just don't work, and they keep using them. It's terrible. But as I said, they will be going to Salina to play the Texas Revolution. 7:05 start at the Salina Bicentennial Center. If you've ever been to Salina, I'm sure you know where the Bicentennial Center is. If not, they make an app on your phone called Maps. It will find it. And good thing is, it's not a division game for the Texas Revolution. I don't know, good thing, bad thing. You know, all games count pretty well, given all 8 teams that are in the CIF. But the Bombers, along with the Sioux City Bandits, the Omaha Beef, and the Wichita Force are all in the north, where the south this year, because they had to remove some people around here and there, the Amarillo Venom, Texas Revolution, the Dodge City Law, and the San Angelo Bandits. Yes, there are 2 Bandits, one in each division. That's the south. So far, everybody in the north has played a game. Everybody in the south has not. That will change this week, obviously. And there's actually been, there's been a little bit of news. I'll get into one story that actually Sonny told me about the other day that we've been talking about. We'll get into that one. We'll get into that one here in a few minutes. Wichita, Kansas is a tough place to play with this game coming up. I mean, it was 48-47 at halftime for Salina and Wichita. They scored it was just an onslaught of just score after score after score. And you'd think at some point, maybe it's a defensive thing. No, these offenses are just clicking. Chris Coffin, who I mentioned earlier for the Bombers, had 7 touchdowns. 4 different receivers got them. But as I say each week on every show that I've ever done football-related, there are 3 parts to every football game. There's the offense, there's the defense, and there's the special teams. And if you're lacking in one of those 3, at least one of those 3, a lot of times you're going to really struggle to come out with a victory. And it comes down to special teams with this. I mean, not only can they make field goals when they need to, they can block them when they need to. That's something that the Revolution are going to have to work on. But let's see, who was the guy that blocked that? What was his name? It was Adam Davis. Okay, Adam Davis is the kid who blocked the extra point attempt or the field goal attempt that actually allowed them to win 64-61. Hopefully, we can get a body on this guy because they seem to play a pretty physical style, really. Was what I saw from the little bit I saw there. And they have their own Frankie Solomon Jr. and Isaiah Barfield, who I think he had two or three interceptions, and he actually caused a fumble that set up the game winner, I believe. And Dwayne Autry's pretty good for them. So I really think we're going to have to hand the ball off to Fudge and just see what he can do. I believe he'll be able to set up the passing game in creating. They're going to have to start dropping extra people into the box, as the NFL term goes. More people in the box to try to stop the run where it'll open up, whether it be Kent, whether it be Halpin, whether it be both of them, so that they can throw and do the best they can with that one. I think that's the way we're going to have to play. We're going to have to just pound... pound the rock up the middle real, just probably for the whole first quarter if possible, just to make them think we're just going to run it down their throats and then start just dropping bombs right over the tops of the bombers' heads. That's the sound strategy I will come up with. Like I said, do check out the Inside the Revolution with Catherine Dunn. I've enjoyed it. They had just released the second one. She does a really good job. You need to check her out. She's, if I'm not mistaken, she's relatively new to the media world, but you wouldn't know it. She gets right in there with the players, and they seem to have a lot of fun talking to her. So, you know, kudos to her. Love to have her on in the next couple weeks. I know we were trying to iron out to get a handful of people on here soon. We'll keep working on that. And real quickly, as who's up on the schedule in the next couple weeks, like I said, obviously the Bombers game is Saturday, a week from Saturday on the 14th, the San Angelo Bandits. So the team will be in San Angelo. And then home for three games with New Mexico, Amarillo, and Wichita. Back on the road to San Angelo. Back in town for Dodge City, two more on the road with Amarillo and New Mexico, then the back-and-forth tennis match that is the stretch run. Be at the Allen Event Center for San Angelo, going to Amarillo, and then in the season finale, the New Mexico Stars will be in Arlen to take on the Texas Revolution. It looks like a fun schedule. You know, with the team that dropped out, which actually is the New Mexico Stars. I guess they'll have to figure that one out. I may be wrong on that. But I did say I'll keep you updated on the Revolution GM, Tim Brown. Like I said, he is headed to the Hall of Fame, which we are all proud of him for that. I told you could check out the video that's online of when he found out. That's a really cool video. But I'll keep you updated as to the dates and times on that, on all of that. And also, if the Revolution have any special plans to honor him, I'm sure there will be some sort of celebration at some point, and I'm not trying to put him on the hook for that one. And when we come back from this next break, we'll hopefully have Sonny up on the line. We'll get a chance to talk to him. And he can go over the schedule a lot better than I can. But we'll be back here in a few minutes.
Hi, Jeremy the Impact York here from Mellow Mushroom. Are you looking for a great family-friendly restaurant with food that is great and healthy? Drop by the Mellow Mushroom. They use the freshest ingredients to make everything on their amazing menu. Pizzas, calzones, salads, and more, plus daily drink specials. Go to mellowmushroom.com to find the location nearest you. Jeremy the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at freeendzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. Hey, Zoners, it's Jeremy the Impact York. Are you looking for a dinner full of flavor with a little kick? The Tequila Mexican Restaurant is your destination for authentic Mexican food and drinks. Make sure to come by on the weekends for live music on the patio and bring all your friends for a good time. With locations in Dallas and Hiram, they are ready to dish out their great food and more.
And we're back here on Revolution Zone. Make sure to check out all our sponsors when you get a chance. They do an amazing job and allow us to come on here just like Impact Media does. Make sure to check those out. They're really cool. But right now, if my stats are correct, I want to bring on our guest. He is the hardest working man in sports radio, and he is the voice of the Texas Revolution and also the Rowlett Eagles play-by-play for baseball and basketball, Mr. Sonny Clark. How you doing, Sonny?
Good day. How you doing there, Mr. York?
I am doing pretty good. I even I made sure to cue up your song here if you can hear it.
Yeah, that's a badass tune.
It is. It is. I actually spent 10 minutes aimlessly listening to a lot of songs by Ted Nugent instead of downloading that one.
Yeah, it's old school. You know, it's, you know, when you get to our age, well, okay, when you get to my age, Nugent, you know, you're that's actually probably even before old school. So there you go.
That's true. Uncle Ted is definitely a he has his own market.
Definitely.
Yeah.
By the way, I thought I'd fill you in just a little bit on the schedule before we get started. As far as what's going on, the New Mexico Stars, they went ahead and they bowed out of the season, but they went ahead and they have just came and today approved a new team on the football team. Are in the league, and they're called the Bay City. Why am I just pulling? I'm pulling a blank here. Gladiators, the Bay City,
yeah.
Gladiators. So that has been made official, and they have had the schedule change. And I was I just wanted to let everybody know a little bit about the schedule change, so that they knew what was going on. That we still are going to have the New Mexico team on our home field for our first game is Friday, the March 20th. It's actually going to be the Gladiators that are going to be in town. They're taking over that New Mexico, but they're not really taking over the whole schedule, just part of it. So there has been some changes because of that situation. So I thought I'd let you know, there was actually a bye for the Texas Revolution on March 27th. Instead, the Revolution are actually going to go on the road, and they are going to take on the Law on that day. So we get the Law at home on April 24th, but we're going to hit the road on March 27th and take on the Dodge City already law. So that's the only thing that has changed. And the season finale also will be against the Gladiators as well at the end of the season. So I thought I'd just fill you in a little bit up on that schedule.
Which I definitely appreciate because I still have the old information. And since you brought it up, we can jump right into that before we get into some of the other things. You actually brought the story to my attention about how the owner of the Gladiators kind of put all this together in just a matter of a couple months and is suddenly in the league.
Yeah, it was, you know, I don't know about how I feel about it because, that, you know, but from what I'm hearing, and it's all good, so that's a good thing. The coach from the New Mexico Stars is actually going to come on over and coach, and he's had a good following, so the guys that were on the team are actually going to go over into the Gladiators, and they're going to pick up some more players over there as well. So he had a pretty good solid base as far as the Stars were concerned. And so when they went ahead and they started the new team, they grabbed him up. They called him up immediately, I guess, after the whole situation was concerned. And their desire was to play indoor football this year, but they just weren't able to probably put it together to get into the league. But with the dropping of the Stars, what ended up happening, I kind of bashed the commissioner. I have to take a step back off of that a little bit because she was actually able to go ahead and be happy about, you know, or work hard and be happy with bringing in the Gladiators as a team to take over a little bit. So there's only a few teams within the CIF that will be making some adjustments. They're going to take on a lot of that schedule that was already there. So there's lots of opportunities to see that team as well. So, but I don't know how they're going to do the games that are going to be happening at that field if they're going to be on America One. That's something that we're going to have to find out about. But take away from that, it should be business as usual as far as indoor football is concerned.
Which is definitely a good thing. And the coach you are talking about, who is pretty highly decorated, I believe he either is going to create history or he already has. And his name is Dominic Bramante, and I believe he'll be the first Native American head coach. And I don't know if it's just the CIF or if it's professional football in general, but I do know that he's going to break down that barrier when he coaches his first game.
I'm not sure about that as far as his heritage, so I would not be able to intelligently comment on that. So, but if that is the case, you're right. It brings down more barriers.
Yeah, it definitely does. And, you know, the Revolution seemed to like to break down a lot of barriers as well, especially with Jen Welter and many other things.
Well, the Jen Welter story is kind of an interesting story when you think about the history of football and you think about what's going on as far as women in sports. I mean, you talk about breaking barriers. Of course, she hit the field for the Revolution last year, and it was quite interesting. She had some good interaction with a gentleman by the name of Cedric Harvey, a defensive player for the North Texas Crunch, and she got a good opportunity to try to get the ball into the end zone, and Harvey stopped her. But then come this past Friday, she's on the coaching side of the football, so she sees Harvey again, but this time she's actually coaching. So that's actually kind of cool when you take a look at that. And Jen Welter is one of these, you know, ladies that, you know, she's an athlete. She's, you know, constantly been out there. She's won 3 women's national titles and 2 women's international titles in football. So as far as what she is revered to be, one of the best female football players in the world, as she's played for the Revolution last year. She played on a U.S. team that went over to China, Boston College, and she also has a Ph.D. in psychology and a couple of other ones. So when you look at Jen Welter, she's definitely a well-rounded person as far as her accolades out on the field, but as well, she's a doctor of psychology. So we got all kinds of things. And I was watching her before the game, coaching the players. And I'm going to tell you, some people would go, well, those guys aren't going to listen to her. I got news for you guys. they're listening to her, and they're listening to her intensely. And the reason why I say that is I sat and watched her for about 10 or 15 minutes on three different occasions in the back of the Allen Event Center talking to her guys and what she had to do and what guys had to do in order to defend and do what they had to do in order to play well. She's a very intense woman, and she brings that to her on the as well as playing the game, but now she's bringing it into the coaching side.
Yeah, I definitely think I've told people before, just in doing my due diligence last year in looking up things about her, not only is she highly educated, but she has that leadership quality to where I knew that one day she could transition into coaching if she chose to, and since she did, I could see an easy transition from everybody just wanting to follow what she's saying.
It's easy when you also have that addictive personality that she has, and it commands respect. And she was talking about respect to everybody. Well, were they going to respect you? Well, as soon as she took the first hit in practice, I think all that went out the window, and everybody was ready for Jen Welter as far as the Revolution were concerned.
Yeah, she was very entertaining when she went on the media tour. I believe Arsenio Hall, I think, was one of her best interviews. That was really cool. And it really showed to me her personality and, like you said, how infectious that is. But you seem to be pretty busy, like us at Impact Media as well, because not only do you do all the Revolution games, you also do the Rowlett Eagles for baseball and basketball. How did you get into that?
Well, it's kind of interesting. One day I was sitting in the bleachers at a minor league hockey game, and I looked up in the rafters and I saw the Allen Wranglers was an indoor football team. Now, I'm from Arizona, and I've been a huge Arizona Rattler fan. I was like, wow, they got indoor football. I'm coming. In fact, the years that I was over in Arizona, I did a lot of play-by-play for high school over there. So I started doing the Wranglers, and then when they closed up shop, I just went on and continued in the booth with the Revolution. And my relationship with the Revolution helped me get into the Garland ISD, which is where the Rowlett Eagles play. And so I had to get in good with them, and I had to have something behind me. And being the voice of the Texas Revolution really helped me be able to get back into calling high school football. So, and we started with football. Well, we actually started in basketball, where I didn't need approval from the Garland ISD. Then I did baseball, and then the next year we went into football and just finished up basketball yet again. But I've been doing basketball and baseball for three seasons and football for two seasons, and it's really all because of the Texas Revolution and being able to use the title. And, you know, when you put in an application or you tell them you want to do something and you have that, you're the radio voice of a professional indoor football team, it really does help with at least being able to be seen, and that's how we were able to land the Rowlett Eagle gig.
Well, how did the Rowlett Eagles do this year in those perspective sports?
Well, as far as their basketball is concerned, they've had just ended. They just went into tournament play and they lost in the first round. And it's mainly they lost a couple of their players at the beginning of the season. They were ranked number 5 in the state of Texas in their basketball, but those injuries really cost them, and they never really were able to get the cohesiveness that they needed to be out up on the basketball court to be a good team. But they started to put it together at the end of the year. They were able to make the playoffs. They tied for the district championship. So that was really good, but lost in the first round of the playoffs in the games that we were unable to cover because of their distance away from us. And, of course, I get the opportunity to do it. That's if I can get there outside of what I do as far as the living is concerned. So that was unable to happen, but they put up a pretty good fight, and the football team played very well. They made it into the second round. The first round they played over at Baylor University, so wow. I went down to Baylor in Waco, which is about an hour and 45 minutes, and that stadium is magnificent. And then they won that game, and then they went into the Cotton Bowl, and they unfortunately lost in the second round at the Cotton Bowl right there in Dallas. Right there where they do the fair. So, but it was a good run for them, as seeing how they had a little bit of problem at the beginning of the year at their quarterback position. And their baseball is up and down as far as, because they're missing a lot of players that they wanted. So, but it's good stuff right now as far as high school is concerned, and that's all going to kick off yet again here fairly quickly as we get into, you know, when they go into spring practices and stuff for high school football.
That's just got to be cool to get to play at Baylor University and then the Cotton Bowl just for playoff purposes.
Absolutely, and it gives them something, really. You look at it, they played in two, well, the Cotton Bowl is just one of those historical kind of places to play because of the history behind the Cotton Bowl before it actually moved over to Jerry's World over in Dallas, or actually over in Irving. So that whole thing, or actually Arlington, the old stadium was in Irving. So they got to play in some really big venue-type places, and actually our kicker, when we went down to Waco, he got a first-hand look at where he's going to college, and he's going to kick the football. So that was kind of cool. And one of our defensive ends were scouted by Charlie Strong himself. From
wow.
Texas, and he's going to go play for Texas next year. And his name is Charles Amenahu, who is the defensive lineman, defensive end. This guy is going to eat. You're going to hear that name in a couple of years over there for Texas.
That's always a good thing. And yep. I like getting involved in the community, and a lot of friends I have in the media, especially out here on the East Coast, are big into pushing the younger kids in the sports, because there's
sure.
just. It's just something totally different about the high school level, the collegiate level, and even the indoor level. And I'll kind of transition into that, because I know you're one of the most passionate people there are about the indoor football game. What drew you to the indoor game that makes it so special to you?
Well, what it drew to me is the fact that I love minor league sports. Don't get me wrong, I will watch the NFL from week one all the way to the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong, I will. But I've always been asked if I had the opportunity to go to a Super Bowl or to a championship indoor football team game, where am I going? I'm going to the indoor game. And it's more the fact that you see these guys that are playing in the CIF, these guys that are playing in the Indoor Football League, and these guys playing in the, you know, Canadian leagues. Their goal is to get to the NFL. So what you're seeing from these guys is passion. And even though they may be down by two or three touchdowns, they don't take plays off even if they're down. They're always trying to perfect their craft. Because really, when you look at it on this level, yes, it's about winning championships for your franchise. Don't get me wrong. That's always a big thing. But for the guys, it's about being able to get good quality film that they can present themselves in order to maybe move up to the AFL or maybe to the Canadian League or maybe even to get that rare shot to get over like Fred Jackson did, to get over and play the running back position in the NFL. So, you know, it's all about film, and that's one of the biggest things about this, even though they're entertaining the fans and they want to win championships, but individually it's all about film.
Yeah, that it definitely is. And there is just a specialness, because I had a good media contact and good friend of mine who was a part of the Revolution franchise and organization, and that's what kind of drew me, because over here there's not as much push on the indoor and minor league sports so much, but
right.
I have even just a couple years ago I did a media show where I covered the Manchester Monarchs hockey team as well as the Chicago mm-hmm. Wolves for a season. So
Chicago Wolves, a big fan, and they actually got their start in the IHL in reality as well. So, yeah, I know a lot about the hockey game. And, of course, Tommy Benizio, he had his little stint in minor league hockey too. So that was kind of fun to learn about from him as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I definitely agree with you on the minor league level, and especially the collegiate and high school level as well. And even I enjoy going to watch 5 and 6 year olds play sports a lot of times, because you get to see that passion that's missing sometimes when a big $1 million contract's on the line.
Yep, And you've seen it, you know, and I usually jump in, and one of my biggest examples of that is Miles Bad Hammy Austin, who used to play for wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys and went to Cleveland there for a while. But after he signed that big contract, boy, he was just very disinterested, at least in my opinion. But yeah, that's what minor league sports are, and you get to be able to see it. My first experience with that is, you know, in Springfield, Illinois, where the St. Louis Cardinals had a triple A team playing in Springfield, and I saw Leon Bull Durham as a minor leaguer, you know, and some of the other names, and you got to see him move up, and that's always exciting because you knew that guy really, really worked hard in order to get where he's at.
Yeah, absolutely, and I know around here the Braves have a bunch of minor league affiliates all around this general area. They have them in Rome, Georgia, but the Gwinnett team, which is their AAA squad, it's always so much fun to watch because those are the guys right on the edge of getting called up to the big leagues or just really getting their feet wet. Sometimes it's a rehab start for people, and I fortunately got to sit with a bunch of scouts and watch the game, which is a whole different animal. If you ever find yourself in a minor league game, try to sit with the scouts. You hear all kinds of things.
Some of the best stories in the world come from scouts from the minor leagues.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of them we can't repeat right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. We're kind of like a PG show, though, so there you go.
that's something I learned quickly. They looked and said, you can't repeat that. Yeah. Okay.
You got it.
But, of course, the other big shows you do are the Couch Potato Sports Show, which is your own personal show. On Blog Talk Radio, one of the fine instruments that I use as well that we're currently on. You're pretty regularly on the weekends, right? The Saturday and Sunday shows.
Well, usually, yeah. Now, you know, as life gets going and, yeah, I take on new clients and things like that, we were very regular from 2009, actually, until just recently that I went ahead and we have moved into taking on a new client. But every Saturday and Sunday, we were pretty much on air. Well, we're still up on air at least one of those days here in the off season. But next season, our show is going to shift to the afternoon on Saturday and towards a evening show on Sunday. So there's going to be just some shifting in the regular way that we do our shows. But we've been doing it since 2009, and it was one of those things where I was actually doing some work back in the Springfield with my brother, who, a local radio station, and I was doing a lot of work with him. He said, man, you should really do your own sports show, because I was bringing in sports stories and stuff like that to talk up on the show, and bringing in guests and things like that. So he said, you really should start it. So really, in reality, me calling my games or doing the radio show comes from my brother, and then calling the games actually comes from one of my good friends who just recently passed away, Willie Martin. I actually met him on my birthday, and we were kind of talking about what I did. He said, man, you got to get back to calling sports. I mean, and so by his encouragement, I got back in, and that's how we ended up getting over to the Allen Wranglers.
Yes, I heard that unfortunate news about his passing the other day, and just from everybody that I reached out to get a little more understanding about the impact he made, because at Impact Media, we're more about the people that make an impact and not just people that make impressions. He was definitely an impactful person.
Absolutely, and what they're doing is, which is really wonderful. I was talking to his sister, and they're going to go and spread his ashes over at some of his favorite fields and arenas, and so he could be a part of it. And it's a great ending for the situation. But obviously, would have loved to have him there at the opening day just recently here as we took on the Crunch this past weekend.
Yeah, that's definitely a I know it's tough to look over and see the empty chair, but like you said, he's watching over you, and I'm sure he's proud of the job you're doing. You've got a chance to interview some other people away from – we'll get back to the Revolution in a second. You've got a chance to interview some people just in the last calendar year, a lot of which I'm somewhat familiar with, especially being growing up a huge wrestling fan. You've talked to Titus O'Neil and Juwan Harley, Jeremiah Riggs. What's it like talking to these guys?
Well, you know, I'll give you an example. When we were doing Titus O'Neil, he's still active within the WWE, and really getting interviews with these guys is really set up through the WWE. You've got to go through so many hoops to get an interview with them. We just happened to be lucky that Titus O'Neil was an indoor football player. For those that don't know, he played for, you know, he played in Florida. He was a Gator. So he is also you probably know this, as you do the Jacksonville Jaguar show, he was actually in Jaguar camp and he blew out his knees, but so he didn't actually get the full opportunity to play with the Jaguars, but then he went to indoor football. So it was a combination that we were going into the playoffs. We wanted to have a good interview with someone who, you know, kind of was into indoor football, but had a, you know, kind of a push that was known, very well known in another sport, which was wrestling. So that's why we grabbed him up. And I know Titus O'Neil actually in reality because of his indoor playing days. And when I tripped over him again on Facebook and found him, it was good. So I asked him if we could do it. He said, "Go through this person here and make arrangements and we'll get it done." And sure enough, we were able to do it. My first one that we did on the Couch Potato Sports Show, we did Larry Zbyszko back in about 2009 or 2010. And that guy's just a wealth of information. But,
he's a wild card.
Oh, he is so great to talk to. And Jeremiah Riggs, of course, he did the Tough Enough deal. And he actually did the Stone Cold Austin reality show as well. I don't know if he's been
Broken
on or
Skull
if he,
Challenge.
That's it. So he actually, when I was doing my interview with him after we got done, he said, "Yeah, I'm going to try to get a hold of Stone Cold and see if I can get onto that." So it was nice to have kind of like the inside track, because I knew he was going to be on that show way before a lot of other people did. So it was kind of fun.
Yeah, because I was able, when I was listening to your interview of him, and I heard him say, "Yeah, I might call up Stone Cold and see if I can give this Skullbuster," which is the last thing, a chance, you know, "I want to give it a swing" or something like that. And I said, "He's going to end up on this show."
Yeah, absolutely. And they had a really good relationship. I was talking to him off air, and he said if he was going to choose someone, he would have chose him. But it was based upon, you know, other things and as far as who was going to get there. Personally, he liked him better than the gentleman that won, which, by the way, I don't ever think he actually made it into the WWF. He signed the contract and everything and got the promotion and the win, but actually it was Maven who was – actually, no, Maven was a couple of years before that. So, but there was a couple other guys that have actually made it into the WWE after that Tough Enough show.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the guy. I can think of his first name, the guy that won. But given his exit, which was one of his nicknames
White
involved
noise or something.
One of his nicknames was something about like Silent Rage or something like that. And
yep,
I don't want to really give him. Yeah, I really don't want to give him the press on it, because he won and it was a good thing, but it seemed political. And within 3 or 4 months, they had dropped him off the roster because apparently he was steroided up. So
interesting. I didn't even know that part of it. Jeremiah Riggs in the interview, he's like, he could take him on. And I think he could. So, that didn't work out for him. But he also owns a trucking company now too. So, these guys, you know, whether it is, you know, minor league sports players, you know, they all got interesting stories, and getting the combination of getting Titus O'Neil in, that was really cool to have him on.
Yeah, I always enjoy your interviews with these guys, and like I said, if you ever need a heads up on any of the wrestling guys, I'll do my best, because I did train to do it for a little while. I was, in my case, I was smart enough to know I didn't want to be in 10 car wrecks a night. So I was smart enough to talk about it instead of do it. But let's go back to the Revolution here. Were you able to check any of the Selena Bombers game from last week?
Oh, I watched it. Yeah, it was actually on Sunday. I watched the whole thing, and I, you know, looking at the score and looking at the final score, it looked like they were able to score, but it also looked like they were giving up a lot of points as well. As far as, and it was that close game that when you're going into it, and the Texas Revolution, this preseason game is not put up on America One, so it was something that people weren't able to see on America One, and the fact that, you know, so the Texas Revolution have a little bit of an advantage because they've already seen the Salina Bombers at full speed, and they have not seen the Texas Revolution at all unless they had a scout there taking film, which I don't know if they did. If they did, I didn't see them, but a little bit of advantage in this game goes for the fact that we've seen what they've already got. They can prepare for it, but, you know, they really can't compare for us because they haven't seen us out there on the football field as of yet.
Well, and whether it was on purpose or whether they just wanted to see what they had, the fact that Revolution used both quarterbacks like that, it kind of throws off the other team's scout anyway. He's like, yeah, I saw both guys. I don't know which one they're going to use.
And that was and that right there is a pure quarterback, you know, not controversy, but competition. You know, you got two young guys out there, and really, I think when I look at this team, I think it's really going to be all about situational football. Depending upon the situation that's going on with the in the game, we might see maybe one of the other quarterbacks go out for a series or two to see if they can do something. Right now, I'll be honest with you, I haven't talked to Coach. But when I did talk to him today, but when I did talk to him yesterday, there's no decision on who's going to be the quarterback as of yet. There's a whole week of practice that is going to go through there with a combination of what they've seen out on the football field on Friday night when they took off the crunch and what they're doing as far as practice getting ready for the Salina Bombers. That is something that is going to probably be made, you know, within 24 hours, who's actually going to get the call at the starting quarterback position. But even though the one will be starting, I have a feeling we're going to see the other one as well. But I'm not sure. That just all depends upon what Coach is going to put out there.
Well, a lot of colleges like to do the dual quarterback thing. Urban Meyer made it pretty famous at Florida a couple years back with that guy named Tebow. Yeah, I like the fact that there's not a decision, and there may not be a decision. Like you just said, he could easily play both these guys and just completely keep the other team off balance.
And that is something, and that also goes to show, you know, the versatility of players. But this year, I think there is a very big, you know, eye on the quarterback. A lot of the indoor teams, you'll have your starter out there, but you'll depend upon a backup quarterback with a different position player. I'll give you an example. Last year, one of our guys, you know, Mr. Coy, Jimmy Coy, got hurt, and then we've seen Clinton Solomon at the quarterback position. We also seen a couple of other guys at the in that game at the quarterback position. So the more obviously that you are versatile and you can play different positions, the better it is for you, especially when you only, you know, you have 24 guys on a team, three on a practice squad, 21 that actually dress up. The more versatile you are and the better you are being versatile, makes you more valuable.
And you know, friendships aside, at least for this question, who do you really like on the Revolution team? Like, who are you either, like, just a big fan of, or just, you know, it's hard to call the game because you're watching these people perform?
Oh, you know, you always have your fan favorite. Matter of fact, I had one of my fan favorites who never even made the squad, so it's always hard to get out there, you know. But, you know, just within the last 3 years, obviously, you have Frankie Solomon Jr., what he's capable of doing, and he unfortunately didn't dress for Friday's game because he was actually in a car accident. So that whole situation, as far as what his deal is, he's still up in the air on whether or not he'll play the first game up in Salina. You know, those are, you know, going to be some game-time decisions on what's going to happen up there. But seeing Frankie Solomon and what he's been able to do, you know, when you look at Frankie Solomon as far as the leader, I mean, the Texas Revolution, he's a career leader in tackles, interceptions, all-purpose yards, kicking yard returns, and kickoff returns for touchdowns. So, wow. I mean, this it's so much. Your show's called Impact. That's what you get with Frankie Solomon Jr. You get a guy that's an impact player. Now, you also got last year. One of my favorite guys was to watch return this year as well, and that was DeMario Dixon. DeMario Dixon, you know, was chewing up quarterbacks like he hadn't eaten in a month. So it was nice. Those defensive guys made a big, big impact on the football field, and they were some of my favorite ones to watch.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. That was definitely something worth watching last year as well as this year, especially those guys coming back. And I've actually spoken to both those guys in the past week, just, you know, friendly banter back and forth. Those guys are just phenomenal guys and extremely good athletes.
Yep.
What did you think of Darius Fudge coming back from the knee injury?
I think Darius Fudge looks like the Darius Fudge that we saw in Wichita. And that's something that is really good because that guy was unstoppable. His last year with the Wranglers before he got hurt when he was playing, and this guy was solid. Now, he made the return last year. It might have been a little bit too quick, or maybe he just, you know, getting back into football shape after the injury. He just looks like a totally different Darius Fudge than last year. So when you look at a guy that brings that much attitude to the running game, and when I say attitude, this guy runs with an attitude, and that's good, especially in the indoor game, if you can get some running yards from a player such as Darius Fudge back out on the football field again. It's nice to see him 100%, because when you were watching him last year, you just knew he wasn't 100%, but you just felt proud that he was out there trying to give it a go.
Yeah, it's definitely, as far as comeback stories, a lot of times they're not as publicized as the NFL or even the CFL sometimes, as far as those.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good to see him back on the field. And like you said, he actually looked like before he was hurt.
Yeah, and when you get that guy that also can go in and be a leader. I mean, this guy's a veteran of the indoor game. So if I'm not mistaken, spending 3 years up in Wichita before he came down and played for the Revolution. So, this guy has that leadership, and that's a quality. And when you look at the Revolution, forget the fact that they're stacked with talent. You're talking about veterans. You got two guys that played in the NFL out on the football for you as far as your defensive side of the ball, whether it's Brian Jackson or Rashad Washington. People who watch football and watch the NFL, they know who Rashad Washington is if they kept track of the Jets at all. I mean, if you got on the phone with Mike Greenberg of Mike and Mike, he knows who he is. You go to veterans, you go to leadership, and that's what the Revolution, they've got good quality out on the football field, but it really does. It starts with leadership out on the football field because, you know, when you're looking at the team and you're looking at the coach, you know, the coach will take a lot of heat, but he's not out on the football field. That's where you need your veterans to be a leader for you, and that's what you got out on the football field with the Revolution.
Yeah, absolutely. I can even see the difference between last year and this year. Even though the team was pretty good last year, had some ups and downs, I can see that leadership really a lot stronger this year. And it could be, you know, just simple roster moves at times, development, people coming back. It could be something like, you know, Jen Welter going from player to coach and having that instant respect.
Exactly. And that all comes with, yeah, the youngsters coming in and they take a look at what's going on. It really does start with the coaching staff, and the Texas Revolution has an outstanding coaching staff. I will tell you, and it's not because I'm biased, they got the best coaching staff in the CIF, if not the IFL as well, as far as experience out on the football field, whether it be NFL, whether it be college, or, you know, Super Bowl rings, Hall of Fame. I mean, Tim Brown's actually helping in the wide receiving position. So, I mean, you got a wealth of information out on the football field whenever the Revolution take the football field, and they're not actually the ones putting on the pads. It's big time.
Oh, absolutely. Like you said, having your general manager be Tim Brown and everything that he did and accomplished as in his playing days, having Wendell Davis and having Larry Sinners, just that coaching staff alone, I agree. I don't know that there's another coaching staff that compares.
No, I don't. I tried to look at all of them, and even in the indoor football league, There's some good coaches out in the Indoor Football League. I mean, I have nothing but mad respect for, you know, Mike Davis and Shackelford and Stout, but as far as taking it into the assistance part of it, deep into it, we got Super Bowl champions on this football team, we got a Hall of Famer on this football team, we got championship winnings in the indoor games out there, and then, and I'll even say it, throw in Jen Welter with her experience as well. Yeah, I mean, goodness gracious, I not to be the homer, because, you know, obviously this is the Revolution show, but at the same time, you know, I'll call them out if they need to be called out, but right now there's no better coaching staff in indoor football right now, I don't think.
Well, and it's funny you mentioned that particular keyword. It's a soundbite we like to use on one of the other shows, but I'll go ahead and play it since you said it.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
Yep.
That's our homer soundbite, usually when we all agree on a pick, but here lately, especially with things, a lot of people like to call us homers based off things we do. But yeah, I tell people all the time that I take off the bias hat all the time, and I'll still tell you that of the teams that I covered, especially the Revolution, I have to agree with you there.
Yep. So it when you have that experience going into the year and just the change in atmosphere with bringing these guys in, it's different. I mean, I've walked into the Revolution office many times within the 3 years that they've been in existence, and it's just different. And you can feel it. And when the guys were signing, I walked in and met all the guys are excited. It is. It's just a different feeling. Different atmosphere brings on different attitudes, and when you have the different attitudes, you'll win the games that you're supposed to win, I have a feeling.
And as we're finishing up with the voice of the Texas Revolution, Mr. Sonny Clark, which you can follow at CouchPotatoSS on Twitter, I don't know if it's necessarily a new thing, because I can't recall last season that much, but the new video series they've started, the Inside the Revolution with Catherine Dunn. I know you've been able to see these because you actually sent me the link for the last one, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it a couple times now. What has the addition of Catherine brought to the media coverage of the Revolution?
Well, I'll tell you, that comes from Matt Lunsford, okay? I'll tell you, that whole situation, that whole thing getting set up, that's because of the efforts that you get from the Vice President of Communications of the Texas Revolution, a guy that is responsible for that kind of thing, for the Revolution, how you're going to hear about him, whether it be video, whether it be social media, whether it be on the radio, whether it be on TV, all that stuff, that falls up under Matt Lunsford. And that whole setup, it does. And people's attention spans are really good, you know, for those kind of things. 2 or 3 minutes, they'll be there for 2 or 3 minutes or 4 or 5 minutes. But after that, you know, sometimes it'll fade out. I think it's a perfect hit to get the news out about the Texas Revolution and what's happening with them. So I think it's a good thing in reality to have that kind of exposure from a person that, you know, that's local here, and they can help get out. And it's an attractive product for people to see, and they'll keep coming back week after week to watch it. So the more it's on people's mind, Matt Lunsford put it on their mind, more people that go out to watch this football team play each and every week.
And just as a disclaimer, that last segment was not brought to you by Matt Lunsford, even though I've talked to him. He's a great guy. I talk to him at least a couple times a week myself. He is responsible for probably 98% of the content that the fans and everybody gets to see, and he does do a phenomenal job. But the last thing I really want to hit on, and I didn't know if you thought you were going to, I was going to let you skirt by without mentioning it, but tell me the story on how you come up with the touchdown call that you use for Revolution Game.
Well, the funny thing is that Sundays with the Red Zone, before my wife started to sleep during the day, I'd watch Red Zone, and I watch it in the bedroom because the kids wanted the TV, but I wanted to watch football all day on Sunday. And that was a thing that happens for me each and every year. And I just started yelling it. I mean, you know, and then the touchdown, it's infectious in reality. And when I first did it, It was on a Terrell Owens touchdown. So it was when he was playing with the Wranglers, and then it just kind of grew wings from there. And I was like, you know what? No one's saying anything bad about it. And then now everybody, I'm walking around in as far as, and I do it for the Rowlett Eagles, and people say, hey, Sonny, say touchdown. And I get it all over, I mean, because I live in a small community, so, you know, I don't want to say I'm famous, but I still walk in the store. People know who I am, which is quite scary in itself. People, yeah, hey, call the touchdown call. So it's just something that stuck, and it's just a fun way of bringing more excitement to the game, at least I think. And that also comes from Kansas City. In reality, and his name slipped in my mind, but the guy used to go touchdown Kansas City, and I just kind of stole it in reality and put my own little twist on it. So it really comes from the touchdown Kansas City guy, but it's really, you know, what they say, you know, imitation is the most flattering thing. That's what I did. I just stole it in reality from him, and it's been fun, and it's something that's infectious and it stays with me.
Oh, it absolutely was, because, like I said, I knew somebody who used to be with the Revolution organization, and he told me about how to watch the games on America One Sports. And I tuned in for one of the games last year as I was starting to cover the team a little bit. And just I want to say it was a Frankie Solomon Jr. interception that he ran back for 35, 40 yards. I don't know. It looked like he just wove in and out of the offense, I guess, the entire way. And by the time he hit the two, you had already started the call, and I went, wow, that's an amazing call.
And it makes the call a lot more funner as well. So that's the reason why it came out that way.
Absolutely, and I hope we get to hear it a lot more this Saturday as they line up. Is it Salina or is it Salina? How do you say that?
Well, it depends on where you live. If you live in Kansas, it's Salina. Outside of Kansas, it's Salina. So, you know, and my family is actually from the Missouri-Kansas area, so I know it as the Salina Bombers, or Salina Bombers, and down here in Texas and around, they know it as Salina, and they don't get offended if you don't say it right, unless, you know, it's not like Louisville. I mean, if you mistakenly call Louisville, they'll let you know about it. They're a little bit nicer over there in Kansas.
Yeah, we with another Impact Media show during the NFL season, we ran into that with the Louisiana team over there. When you say New Orleans or New Orleans, they kind of want it more of a New Orleans.
Yeah. And yeah, Louisville. It's not Louisville, it's Louisville. So, you know, it just all depends on where you live in the country and things of that sort. So, yeah, but that's going to be a good game, and that game's going to be on America One. I will not actually be at that game. We'll be calling it off a media feed, but the rest of the road games we are going to be on. That's just one that didn't work within Sonny's schedule in order to get that part done. So, but most of the other games on the road, we'll be calling them. The home games will also be up on America One as well.
Which, like I told everybody earlier, and I've said before, that's a great website. You can see not only football, but a lot of other sports as well that they show. And it's only just a couple bucks to watch it, and it's a great feed as long as you have decent internet.
Yeah, you got to have decent internet, and it's always fun. And you know, being able to scout the Bombers this week and knowing what I'll know going into it, it really does help. And plus, if you're a fan of indoor football, it's really something. I have all of them. I have all the indoor football, so I can watch all the games, whether it's IFL, PIFL, and all the other ones. I've got them all because I love the sport. It's a fun sport. It's quicker sport, smaller windows, higher scoring, and when you got a good defensive team that can hold them up, I mean, a good defensive team will hold a team to in between 30 and 40 points, and that's a good day compared to the NFL. They're wondering what's wrong with your defense. So it's definitely a lot more fun, and it's a more enjoyable game, at least in my opinion.
Well, it has been an absolute honor getting a chance to finally talk to you. I know we've been going back and forth on all the social medias and texts and everything for a while, and it's good to finally get to talk to you. You're welcome back on the show at any point in the future. And just appreciate you being on, Sonny.
No problem. If you need me, give me a scream, just hit me up on Facebook. And if you can't get it on the America One feed, you can get on over where I actually put your show on my website where we call the games. It's thecouchpotato.wix.com/RevsRadio. So you can check out your show on there that I put up there, which is on there right now. And that's where you can go and you can click right there. And also, obviously, up on Blog Talk Radio.
Much appreciated for putting our show up on like that as well. And I will post those links on Facebook and Twitter so that if you are looking to check out any of Sonny's works, you can go definitely to the site there. And it's got everything you've done.
Sounds good. Always a pleasure. And I look forward to talking to you in the future, my friend.
That we definitely will do.
All right. Have a good one. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, we'll talk to you. And that was Sonny Clark, the voice of not only the Rowlett Eagles, but the voice of the Texas Revolution. And the hardest working man in sports radio. Well, let me try to say it like he did. I hopefully can do it at least halfway as good as Sonny can. He likes to tell people, because it's true, he's the hardest working man in sports radio, and I absolutely agree. His passion for indoor sports is unlike anybody else, and it's infectious. If you're around Sonny or you get a chance to listen to his calls, it just makes you want to dive that much deeper into the game. But that's going to do it. So on behalf of Blog Talk Radio and Impact Media and all our wonderful sponsors, I am Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you next week for Revolution Zone.